the church was pretty filled Sunday afternoon. So anyway, be greeted from each and every one of them, specifically from Unston and from Ray Stenerson, that they wanted to send special greetings to all of you here. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the fourth chapter of Philippians, and beginning with the fourth verse and reading through the ninth verse. It's Philippians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 4, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. For the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that these words, Father, that they would be spoken unto us, that, Lord, that you would really reveal your grace and your compassion for us through these words, and that, Father, that we may take them and feed upon them even as we leave from here this morning. Father, your word is truth, and, Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter, was in prison. And that's significant, at least to me, to be able to write the words that he wrote and still be going through the things that he was going through, because it wasn't a good time. The people of Philippi supported him, and he had a great compassion and love for them. And they sent whatever it was that he needed through messengers and through different people. They would send gifts to him to help him along and to be able to help him, to sustain him and help him through this time. So he had a special place in his heart for them. He begins to say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Paul, being in prison at this time, he was still able to encourage the people. He was able to be able to encourage them and to rejoice and tell them to rejoice in God. Going through a time like this that he was going through, and still focusing his attention on rejoicing. How is it that we can rejoice even when we're going through a tough time? How is it that we can rejoice when things just aren't going the way that we would like them to go? And I know that's happened to each and every one of us. To rejoice in God is part of the inner attitude, as has been written. It's an attitude that we have. It has nothing to do with outward circumstances. The outward circumstances are what make us rejoice in God. Why? Because we understand that there are times where we have to go through things that just aren't pleasant. But that's part of our humanness. That's part of living in this world. But there are times where we have to go through things that involve our faith, or where people would mock us or scorn us, as happened back in the day of Paul. And has happened down through history. And Scripture tells us to rejoice in this and to be glad, because you're going through this because of what you believe and who you are and who you trust in. So to rejoice in God is part of an attitude that you have that comes from within. Because that attitude is that I trust in God and what He has done. We talked about briefly with Jim when he came in that how can anyone go through a time where, like I just went through with Dad, and I know Harv, you went through it, and we have all gone through at some point in time with our parents passing. How can anybody go through that without knowing a Savior? How can anybody go through that without having that assurance that that person, because of their faith in God and their faith in Christ, is saved and can rejoice in the fact that they are with Him now. They are with God. They are with Christ. How can anybody go through that without that knowledge? It's hard to understand. And he says, let your moderation let your reasonableness is another term for that. Be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. To be reasonable is what? When someone confronts you with something that they think is the thing that you should be doing, or they think that that should be the way that you would believe, rather than voicing it in an angry way, or rather than voicing coming back in a way that would not reflect your faith, but coming back in such a way of love and compassion and being reasonable and understanding that, yes, there are times where people are not going to agree with you. There are times where people just are not going to accept your point of view. And rather than becoming angry, accept it and just say, okay, that's just the way that it is. Be reasonable. Let it be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It's an interesting statement. Some of the studies that I looked at attribute it to the Lord is at hand. In other words, we are in the last times, and that the Lord is going to be coming again. And each generation that follows one after the other, the Lord is closer and closer. But there's another explanation too on this, or something that goes with it hand in hand, that the Lord is always there to help. He's always there, ready to extend that hand, ready to extend the support that is needed to go through whatever it is that you're going through, whatever the trial is. He's there to help. That's the key. He's there to help. He's not just there saying, well, okay, things are going to get better, do this, do that. No, he's there to help. That's the key. Think of it in that way. He's there to help. But we have got to be receptive to the way that he's going to help us. Sometimes things turn out not exactly the way we would think they should. But because God is who he is and knows and understands all things, that help is given in such a way that will uplift and will encourage. He says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I know this is something I've talked about. To be anxious for nothing, that's kind of hard to do. We're living in this world. We're living with situations that we personally have to go through. It's pretty hard to not think about them and to not try to understand them. It's difficult to not imagine what should be done. It's difficult not to try to fix it because of our humanness. Some want to fix things all the time. They are, I guess if you could categorize them as being a fixer, someone who can take care of things and look at something, come to a solution and fix it. Some can't. But there's some things that just flat cannot be fixed and have to run its course. Our imagination can make us turn our thoughts away from God. And it's a weapon that Satan can use and does use. I know for me, there are times where I will start thinking about a situation and then start with the what-ifs, or the woulda, coulda, shouldas. And then pretty soon, if I back off and look at it, I'm looking at it and my whole attitude is turning to the negative. It's not positive. It's not trusting in God. It's trusting in what I would do. How many times has that worked? Not very often. Our imagination is something that Satan will use against us rather than for us. Turn to God. There's four different things in this particular verse that he talks about. The first one is prayer. But in everything by prayer. That's the first thing that we need to do. And then the second thing is supplication. Supplication is voicing a specific request for a need. It's the way it's been described. We pray for things that happen. We pray for things that we need to have happen or to fix things. But when we pray for a specific need, as we prayed this morning for Sharon's niece, and that we prayed for the different things that have happened, for strength and uplifting, that is praying for specific needs, things that we would like to see done, or we'd like to see corrected. But then it leads on to thanksgiving. Thanking God for everything that he's done. And see, this is being in the Spirit. This is being understanding that God has given us everything. He's given us all that we have. Yeah, well, somebody said, yeah, well, I went out and worked for it. Yeah, you did. Who gave you the health to do it? You see, God is involved in every part of our lives. He's not just there as a support staff when we need him. He's there continually. And he's there, as we spoke already, that he is near. The Lord is at hand. He's there all the time. He's not just there when we think that we need him. And the last one is, let your request be known unto God. Now, that's something that I think I've come to understand it in this way. That regardless of how minor a situation may appear to us, a situation that appears to be something that is just rather irrelevant, I guess if you could call it that. So we don't really even ask God to help take care of it. It'll take care of itself. How many times have you ever witnessed that something irrelevant turns into something bigger? And now all of a sudden, oh man, we're on our prayer bones right away asking God to take care of it. But it started out with something very tiny and very small. God does not want us to pick and choose what we pray for. He does not want us to decide, well, this is worthy of prayer, but that's over there is something minor enough that I don't have to be concerned with. No, he doesn't want that. Let your requests be known unto God. Pray unto him. Father, there are things that I need. And he knows if you need them, not just want. But there are things that others need. There are things that others, some support that people need, or whatever it happens to be. Ask God for them continually. Again, not just for what we think, but take Scripture as it says, and this is what we need to have. Constantly turning to him. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, or your thoughts, through Christ Jesus. In John chapter 14, it's a text that a verse I'm sure that every people will remember. But chapter 14, I believe it's verse 27. This is when Jesus was towards the end of his time with his disciples, and he comes down to the point where he's going to be leaving them. And he's letting them know that thing of what's going to be happening. In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God has given us, Christ has given us this peace. It's free for the taking. It's ours. It's not something that we have to pay for. It's not something that we have to search out for or to look for or to try to find where it's hiding. It's free. His peace. To be able to walk through this life with the assurance that regardless of what happens, he is in control. And he is the one that controls all things. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. Shall guard them and keep them on the right path. Keep them on that path that leads to eternity. And all we have to do is open up and allow it. And speak as Jesus did, even that, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Have you ever been in a position where occurrences that you may be familiar with, or you're looking at the kind of maybe the whole scope of what's going on, and you just get to the point where you say, "This just makes no sense. Why are these things happening? Or why are people reacting this way? Or why are people doing this?" And sometimes it's even, "Why are Christians acting like this?" Because that also has been known to happen. These are the things that we have to turn to God and pray unto him. Positive thinking doesn't do a lick of good when it comes to human nature, because human nature can just run the whole scope. And I'm not at all saying that we shouldn't be positive about things and so on. That's not the point. But it's not positive thinking, and it's not the absence of conflict, or it's not good feelings that we have to think on or to trust in. But it's what these things that the apostle has written. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praise. These are the things that we look to. These are the things that we must focus on. And we're not going to focus on it if we look here. It just doesn't happen. Because Satan can bring on a lot of things. But if we look to one another and we ask one another for help and for guidance when we are going through that time, it makes it a little easier. It makes it a little easier to get along and to travel that road. There's a song that I was thinking of as I was reading these, and it kept coming to mind. I think the title on it is "Constantly Abiding." There's a peace that the world never gave, a peace that the world cannot take away. That is Christ. That is peace. The world can't give it. The world cannot take it away. As much as they would like you to try, or as much as they would like to try, or as much as they would like you to think. The world can't give it. The world can't take it away. And he goes on in closing, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul wasn't tooting his own horn. Some may look at it and say, well, yeah, he's, you know, look at him. He's, no, Paul wasn't doing that. Paul lived it. Paul lived what he believed, even as we are supposed to live what we believe. We're not supposed to stand up here or talk to somebody and talk about it in this sense and then go on and live as the world would live. I think we all know and understand that. But as the Apostle Paul, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do those things. And the God of peace shall be with you. That God of peace was with Paul. That God of peace was there comforting him in prison. And because of his trust and faith in him, he was able to tell these people how to do these things. But he told it in such a way of not as a teacher, but he was an example of them. And this is what we should be to all of those around us, to be an example of who Christ is and what he has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.